Brother Allen said he couldn't sing this morning, and so let me see who we've got. Jordan, why don't you come sing for us? Come on, sing. Karen, I think we'd have to hunt those words. He doesn't know. But Brother Roy, you come on sing for us anyway, would you?
How great thou art, Jordan. I'm thankful to be back today. Good Lord, it's been good to us, as I said last Sunday, and He's kind of laid a song on my heart here today, and I'm going to try a couple of three verses of How Great Thou Art. Amen. He's great. Amen. He's great. He's great. God is great. Amen. Amen. You pray for us, well, we'll try to sing this. I don't know if I can see getting up, but I think I can remember some of the words to it. Consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the storm, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the wood and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the tree. Mountains grandeur, and I proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Then seek my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
You're a break, honey. I got a lot to tell you. Amen.
When Christ shall come and tell with acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Sing it with me.
Then say, my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
For that, praise the Lord. He told me one time I wouldn't be able to sing anymore, and I had all this other problems. I'm still going for God. He's still got something to do, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability.
I think the Lord
will
say to me,
and
I was in the hospital when I came back from surgery.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Well, Brother Roy, that's a blessing, my good brother. I appreciate Brother Roy, don't you? He's been a good friend to me down through the years, and he's a blessing, loves the Lord. John chapter number 4. I'm going to tell you something. Our God is great today. You just might as well mark that down somewhere. He may not be flashy like a lot of folks would like for him to do, but he's a great God, and he's doing a great work even in our day today. Well, a couple of weeks ago, the Lord put it on my heart to preach through John chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. I think that's what He's put on my heart. Feel like it is. And so I've been trying to slowly make my way through that. We have looked at Nicodemus. He was a religious man, church-going man. And he was... What the world would say, a good man, and might even say it, a godly man, but he was lost. And we talked about that for two messages, but now we're going to look in chapter number 4, and we're going to see another sinner, a different type sinner. She's not a church-going woman. And so let's read about her for a little bit, and if I'm not careful, I'll start preaching. Before we read, the Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse number 1, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. I like this next verse. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Can't get no more plain than that, can you? And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labor, and ye are entered into their labors. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you, Father. You know I'm very needy today. I say it every time I get behind this desk. I sure do need you, Lord, to help me. And you know, Father, I'd just be a complete failure unless you do a work this morning. Please help us. I know we're dealing with a very familiar scripture, but Lord, please touch it with the Holy Spirit. Make it fresh oil for us. Help us now, Lord, how we need you. Open hearts. If there's anything that would hinder this service, any movements, any noises, any disturbances, anything, I ask you to refrain it for a few minutes. Oh, God, let the Holy Spirit move up and down hearts and do what needs doing, and we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. All right, I do know as we approach this scripture, it's a very familiar passage. Fact of the matter is, I've probably preached on this multiple times, and not long ago, I think, I preached on this particular chapter, but can I tell you, if the Spirit of God will honor the preaching, it'll be just as fresh as if it's the first time you've ever heard it. That's right. And that takes the Spirit of God, and so we're just helpless there. But knowing we're in obedience to Him, we'll just trust Him to help us this morning. Now, I want to say this as we get started. This woman is much different than Nicodemus in some ways, but she's a lot like him in other ways. And so I want to identify some of those. Number one, she was not a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus had been elevated to a position of honor and authority, not this lady. She was not a master of Israel. She wasn't a great teacher as far as man was concerned. She didn't come looking for Jesus like Nicodemus did. I mean, this lady, she's different. She was not well thought of by the Jewish nation. If you had a vast 10 people about Nicodemus who knew him, that's a fine fella. He's an upstanding man. He's a churchgoer. He loves God. But if you'd ask about this lady, there wouldn't have been the testimony. She really didn't have a reputation. We might even say this, and I don't know, I hope this isn't offensive to she. We might even say this, she was considered low class by the Jewish folks. She was a Samaritan. She was a half Gentile and half Jew. And so she was looked down upon and not well thought of. And the fact of the matter was, she's not an achiever. She's not one that has achieved and been successful. In fact, we would say this about this woman. She's really a failure in life. That's what we would say about her. She'd had 5 marriages and failed in every one of them. And if we used these Tennessee language, we'd say she was shacking up today. That's who Jesus is looking at. And here's what most church members would say. Well, we're not going to fool with that old harlot. She'll try to steal somebody's husband in the church. Well, it's awful quiet, but I've heard that attitude before. She'll just bring problems in the church. She's got a lot of baggage. She'll do this or she'll do that. Well, what Jesus think about her? I mean, that's what's important. She really don't have anything to offer. She really that's not one we want to bring to the church. They can't benefit the church. She don't have any money. She can't help us with her finances. She can't teach a class. She can't do this. Hey, I don't think we have that around here, but that's in some churches. We're dealing with an outcast of society, if I could say it that way. In fact, she don't even appear to be interested in Jesus. I mean, she goes up to the well and there he is, and he's the one who has to initiate the conversation. If I was to say it this way, and you probably understand it, she's what we might call a nobody. Can I tell you, I'm sure glad God loves nobody. I'd have got left out, Brother Bud. I'd have got left out if you had to be a Nicodemus to be saved. I'm sure glad God loves nobody. And if you're here today and you're nobody, can I just tell you, God loves you. God loves you. I'm glad God loves the successful. I just want to tell you, I'm glad he loves the unsuccessful. I'm glad he loves the big name preachers. But I'm glad he loves the little no name preachers. I'm glad God loves everybody. If you're here today, God loves you. He loved this one. And so we see there's some differences, but we see there's some similarities. Her and Nicodemus, they were both lost. Nicodemus was just as lost as this woman that came to the well. He's just as lost. They both would have been in hell had Jesus not passed by. Aren't you glad for a Jesus that just passes by old sinners' ways and deals with him through the power of the Holy Spirit? I'm thankful for that. And so here she was. Her and Nicodemus would have went to the same place. They both need to be saved. And I just want to say this. They both needed Jesus to be saved. Had Nicodemus not went to Jesus, he wouldn't have been saved when he was saved. Now you say, well, he might have kept hearing the gospel message later on, been saved. That's a possibility. But the Bible teaches us, he got, and where he got saved at, I don't know. We know he got saved somewhere because later on he manifests the fruit of salvation, as far as I'm concerned. But the fact of the matter is, He had to have an encounter with Jesus before he was saved. Same thing with this woman. She had to have Jesus. Had Jesus not passed by that way, she wouldn't have been saved that day. I believe she got saved that day. And so both were dependent on Jesus. But you know, both of them had limited knowledge. If there's one thing the Lord, the Holy Spirit has showed me out of my studying for these messages again, is that you've got to get past the knowledge the sinner thinks he has. Here's a lady, and she said this. The woman said, "I know." He's already told her, "Ye worship you know not what." He's already told her, "You don't know." But now she comes over here and she's saying, "I know." And as I was studying, that's what Nicodemus said. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. And it seems like one of the obstacles that's common in both these situations is the fact that they have a limited, a flawed, an erroneous, an incomplete knowledge about the Lord that had to be overcome. I just want you to stop and think about this, and maybe I'll get to the message here in just a minute, but I want you to think about this. How many times have you tried to deal with somebody and they know more than they think they know more than they really do? Isn't that right? I mean, you've got to get past, you've got to help the sinner get past their flawed knowledge. And so we could talk about that. And you can see many truths about dealing with sinners in this passage, in these passages as we work through it. But both had to encounter Jesus. Can I say this? Both had to be willing to listen. If they said this, she'd said to Jesus, look, I don't have time for you, Jesus. I've got to get this water. I've got to get back to the city. Hey, you hang around. I'll be out here tomorrow and I'll try to take time for you. Right now, I'm just too busy. Can I say this? She would have missed out. And I'm going to tell you, church, one of the devil's tricks for God's people, not just sinners, but God's people, to get you too busy to really listen. Or to make you think you know more than the preacher and you're too smart to receive what he's saying and be Berean in your conduct, receive and search the scriptures daily, whether it be so. And when you get that attitude, when you get that know-it-all attitude, I know you don't need to tell me anything. I don't have time now, but I'll check you later. Can I tell you, you're going to miss out. Spiritually, you're going to miss out. And there's a lot of folks that miss out. And we're dealing with sinners this morning. I just want to stop and say that happens to saints as well. And some of you old heads, and you do, I'm getting to be in that category, and you start thinking you know something. And one of the challenges for me is to always be sensitive enough to what I know to at least evaluate what's told me. I don't know if that come across like it needed to, but here's what I always want to do. I want to listen to a man, irregardless of what I think I know, and see if there's any truth to what he's saying. And search the scriptures daily to see if it's so. You ought to be, you ought to afford the man of God that option. And she did. She did. Both had, were willing to listen to what Jesus had to say. And can I say this? Both were willing to change their mind. Now there's something about not changing your mind that appeases the flesh. It makes you think. I've heard people brag. You've heard me say this. I've heard people brag about being stubborn. Well, my goodness, study what the Bible says about stubbornness, and it's not something to brag about. That's exactly right. You ought not be. You go around. I've even got kinfolk that used to say this about one of my relatives. I'm just like old so and so. I'm just stubborn. And they were saying that in a proud, boastful way. And I didn't think much about it then. But if I've gotten older, you know what that does? That just shows your foolishness. That shows your foolishness. God's people ought not be stubborn. They were willing to change their mind. And it doesn't make you a less person if you get the truth and you change your mind. Doesn't make you a less person. And can I say both of these were saved? And so there's some differences. There's some similarities. And so I feel like what I want to do is just work through the text. And I want to start with one of Brother Bud's. It almost seems like one of his favorite texts. He'll throw this out every now and then. And verse number 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. And Brother Bud, I know you like that verse. I've heard it too many times come from you. He must needs. Now really, as he is leaving, the Bible says this, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. He didn't have to go through Samaria. In fact, a lot of the Jews didn't go through Samaria. They felt like they were too godly and too holy to even walk on Samaritan ground, and they would go around, take the long way around. Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria to get to Galilee. When it said he must needs, it wasn't because of the necessity of going from Judea to Galilee that made that a must. It's what I'm trying to say. And so what does that say? Number one, it says Jesus knew about her well before she ever heard about him. I don't know about you, but I like that. I like the fact that he knew me before I ever knew him. I believe this, and I think you do too. He knew me when he was hanging on the cross. That's right. He looked down, them old timers used to say, down through this telescope of time, and he saw you and I lost on our way to hell. No hope, couldn't help herself. And he said, I'll go and I'll die. Hey, why did he do that? Because he knew us before we knew him. Amen. Well, he knew. You know why he must needs go through Samaria? He knew there's a Samaritan woman down there that needed him. That's right. I'll never forget at Mill Baptist Church, June the 9th, 1969. He must needs pass by Mill Baptist Church. You know why? Because I needed him. And he knew me before I really knew him. I'd heard about him, but didn't know him. But I met him that night. Been learning about him ever since. Why did he come by that night? Because he knew that I needed him. And sinner, if you're here today, oh, I don't know, I've thought about how many in our midst might be deceived, might think they're saved, they're not saved. And I'm not trying to cast doubt, but the fact of the matter is, we live in a deceptive age, deceiving and being deceived. And how seducers will wax worse and worse. And so that's the age we're in. I thought about how many of my loved ones that tell me I'm okay. And really, they live like hell itself. And you have to wonder, you don't know, you can't. I understand that it's not a work salvation. But can I tell you, if you're really saved, there ought to be some fruit somewhere along the way. There ought to be something that gives folks that look at your life some kind of hope some way or another that you've been born again. I just wonder how many is to see. And so we look at this woman. I'm going to try to stay on track this morning, not chase a bunch of rabbits. But Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria because he knew her before she knew him. And can I say, not only did he know her, but he cared about her. Well, Alan sings that song in the choir sometimes, does Jesus care? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. He cares for us this morning. Can I tell you, you may feel unloved today. I suspect this woman did. You know that old, you can't help but think about, I've just got enough carnality in me. There was an old country song, maybe, I don't know how long ago it's been, but it seemed like when I was a kid, it may have been 20 years ago or 30. It said, looking for love in all the wrong places. And when I read about this lady, that always runs through my mind. Here she is. And you know, I wondered what she was like. Usually, in a marriage, somebody's went through four or five marriages, the common denominator is that person's went through four or five marriages. And usually in five men, if you're a decent person, you'd think you might find one that you could have made the marriage work with. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking. I know people make mistakes. And by the way, can I just tell you, I've got a loved one that's went through divorce. And they can't get past the embarrassment, the shame. She feels ashamed about it. And she almost feels like a second-class citizen. But can I tell you, that don't make you second-class. You know what I like? He said it. I'm already off my message. Let me just tell you, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. God used her in a greater way than he did Nicodemus. You say she's a divorced woman five times over. God still used her. That blesses my soul. You don't read about Nicodemus winning a whole handful of people to God. But I'm telling you, they believed on Jesus because of that old divorced woman. She wasn't second class. No way. And you're not either. If you're sitting in here and you've struggled through divorce and marriage problems, I just want to tell you, I don't care what the devil says, you're not second class. God can use you, and if you allow him to, he will use you. Well, amen. You know that's right today. You might as well say amen. I know a man of God and disqualify himself. I'm not preaching that, but I'm just saying, just because you went through struggles and tragedies in your life, that doesn't make you second class, and God will use you if you'll let him. You know it's right. Well, that's where she is. She's had five husbands, but Jesus cared about her. He still loved. He still came where she was. And he worked to get there. He wore himself out to get where she is. The Bible says he was weary with his journey. I don't know if that means he's plumb wore out, if he was totally wore out. I don't know that or not. Fact of the matter is, it tired him getting into her presence from the man's side. It tired him. And so, here's what I'm saying. He made a great effort to get where she was at. Why? He cared. And he loved her. Sinner, if you're here, the Lord, he cares. And he loves you. He just loves you. And he wants to help you. He wants to do something with your life. He wants to take you up in his arms and comfort you and be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so when we see must needs go through that he must needs go through Samaria, we see that that's because he knew her before she knew him. He cared about her. And she couldn't be saved unless Jesus passed by. And I just want to say this, Jesus loves all men. He loves all sinners. Jesus wanted to help her. And he went to great efforts to do so. And so he said this, I've got to pass through. I've got to pass through Samaria. And so we see that. But then we see too, woman came to draw water at an unusual hour. If you were to go over to Genesis 24 and verse 11, I know all you Bible scholars know this. Genesis 24 and 11, the women drew water at the evening hour. Just go over and read it. If you don't believe me, that's what it says. Genesis 24 and 11. She's at the noon hour, the sixth hour. And the fact of the matter is, she probably went at the noon hour to avoid her critics and to avoid those that hated her. And when the women went to draw water, she went when nobody was there. She thought she'd be all by herself and alone, and she could just get her water and go on about her business. But aren't you glad Jesus showed up? You remember when you was living your life, you didn't care what anybody thought. You was going to do your thing. You was just running solo. You didn't care about the church. You didn't care about the preacher. But one day, you was just going about life, and all of a sudden, Jesus showed up. That's what happened to her. Jesus just showed up. You say she's an outcast. Nobody wants to visit her. Jesus did. He showed up in her life. And I want you to notice what he did. He made the first move. He always does. You say, I don't see it, Nicodemus. He put something in Nicodemus's heart, made him seek the Lord out. Jesus spoke to her before. She didn't say, hey, Jesus, glad to see you. I've heard all about you. I'm interested. I want you to help me. Oh, no. I don't even know if she'd have spoke to him if he hadn't spoke first. She came to draw water. And he spoke to her. He said, give me to drink. By the way, you know one of the key words in this chapter right here? You know what it is? Give. You count the words give, given, gift, gave in this chapter. It's almost as many times as believe is in chapter 3. Just study it out. I kindly picked up on that this time around. And I've got them marked. I could read them to you, but I'm not going to take time to. This chapter is about giving. Can I tell you the Lord's a giving Lord? He ain't going to take from you. He's going to give. Now, he'll take away your sin. Take the bad away. But you know the God we serve? He gives to sinners. He gives to them. Sinner, if you're here, I don't know. I'm just preaching what God give me. He's a God-given. His character is sacrificial. Hey, sinner, he loved you so much. He gave his darling son to die for you. Well, I could take these little mamas right here and little babies. I could ask Heather back there. She's got little Zachariah. I could say, Heather, would you give Zachariah so that all us could live? We're your friends. And I know you care about us. And we've been good to you. And we like you. Would you give your baby, your son, to die? You know what she'd say? No brainer question. No way, preacher. I could go around the room. There's not a one of you. But can I tell you, there's a God in heaven who loved us so much. He gave his trophy, if I could just say it that way. He gave the darling Son of God, his only begotten Son, so you and I could have life, have it more abundantly. Well, hallelujah, what a God we serve. Well, let's go on. Jesus said, give me to drink. And she, you know, it's funny, the same word that Nicodemus used. How is it? How? How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb? How can these things be, he said. And here's this woman, she's saying. Now, she's not the know-it-all. At this point, she says, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask to drink of me, a Samaritan? How is that? And so he's engaged in conversation. And friend, I want to tell you, things will start happening when you and the Lord start talking. I don't know how to say that any other way. I'm telling you, I've had a battle in my prior life. here lately, just a real battle. But can I tell you, if you can get victory, when you get to praying, things will start happening. When you get to talking to the Lord, things will start happening. And that's what's happening. Her and the Lord's talking things over. And so she says this, "Why? How is it you ask and drink of me? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus said this at verse 10. He said, "If thou knewest..." Now, she's going to say later, I know that Messiah's coming. When he's come, he's going to tell us all things. She really thinks she knows some things. Our fathers told us to worship this mountain. You say Jerusalem is where we ought to worship at. She knows some things in her mind. But she's starting to realize she don't know everything. Jesus is bringing her to that place. And I want to tell you something, Sandra. If you're here, you may know a lot, but you don't know everything. You may not know as much as you think you do. Some of these saints, some of you saints sitting here, you may not be near as smart as you think you are. You might ought to humble yourself down and say, "Lord, I don't know anything. Would you just help me and teach me?" And I'm telling you, the farther I go along this thing, the easier is it for me to do. I mean, really, if the Lord don't help us, church, I'm going to tell you, if the Lord don't help us, we're just like a ship on the ocean, just blown here and there. We don't know anything. We have to have the Lord. Brother Miller, we've got to have the Lord. We've got to have Him. And so here she is. She says, Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God," the gift of God. He said, if you knew two things. Number one, the gift of God. What was the gift of God? Eternal life. Hey, if I could run an ad in the paper and it said this, "You can live forever if you be up at the Ridgeview Baptist Church," and I could convince people that I had the ability to cause them to live forever, there'd be a line all the way to Knoxville. Or probably all the way to Nashville. Maybe all the way to California. People would line up to live forever. And you can, and they shun it. You know what? They don't know. They don't know what I know. They just don't know. He said, "Thou knewest the gift of God." What is the gift of God? Eternal life. Eternal life. I'm going to live forever. Can I tell you, I'm standing before, if you're saved, well, really, if you're lost, you're going to die forever. You're going to exist forever. You're just not going to have a life. It's eternal death if you go to hell. But can I tell you, we're eternal beings. We go out to the cemetery and the funeral homes and we weep over our loved ones, and rightfully so. It's sad. It breaks our heart to separate. Fact of the matter is, they're not dead. They're alive. They're going to live forever. Hey, when they march you around, say the preacher's deceased, and you look in the casket, that casket's lying to you. I will be as alive as I've ever been. Amen and amen. I'll be alive. I'm eternal then. I have eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. Yeah, amen. Well, that's just how it is. He said, if you knew two things, the gift of God. The gift of God. That's salvation. That's eternal life. That's power. That's victory over the power and the penalty. And one day the presence of sin. We could go through all kinds. You could just preach on that gift this morning. But he said this, if thou knewest first the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. If you knew those two things. And I started thinking about that. Who was she talking to? Have you ever thought about that? I sat down and I just started writing. Man, I had a little old stenographer pad I was scribbling all this on. Usually I type it, write it on paper. Who was she talking to? He said, well, it's Jesus. Well, that's so. But can I tell you, she's talking to God, manifest in the flesh. That's who it was. Can I tell you who else she's talking to? She's talking to the eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. She was talking to the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Can I tell you, she's talking to the Passover Lamb. This little woman who's living in adultery, she's talking to the Passover Lamb, the Lamb that can take away the sin of the entire world. He had time for her. Just think about that. The Lamb of God, take away the sin, the one that's born of a virgin. Miraculous in his birth. She's talking to God's Son. She's talking to the door. She was talking to the bread of life. She's talking to that manna that came down from heaven. This little old woman been divorced 5 times and checking up. God himself come right up to her and started talking to her. I say hallelujah. What a God we serve. Oh my. She's talking to the bread of life. She's talking to the light of the world. She's talking to the good shepherd, and the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. She's talking to that great miracle worker that gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and caused the dumb to speak and the lame to walk. She's talking to that life giver that said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. I'm telling you, this little old woman didn't know who she is talking to. Oh my. Let me just go through some of these with you. She's talking to Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. She's talking to the lily of the valley. Might we go through the valleys, but I'm glad there's a lily down there to help us, aren't you? We still look at, enjoy the beauty, even in the valley. Lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. She was talking to that tender plant, that root out of a dry ground. A root out of a dry ground. You can't get a root out of a dry ground unless it's miraculous. Root out of a dry ground. She's talking to a wonderful and counselor, and the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Son of David, the Son of Man, our Lord. Our Savior, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our fortress, our high tower, our shield, our buckler, our hiding place, our hope, the bride and morning star. She didn't even know who she was talking to. She said, if you knew who you was talking to, our friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the creator of the universe, she was talking to. My, she just didn't know. She is talking to that one by whom all things consist. She's talking to that one that's the expectation of the church, his bride. Talking to the head of the church. Talking to one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Owns all the, he said, all the silver's mine. All the gold's mine. That's who she's talking to. Multi-millionaire living like a pauper. That's who she is talking to. All the one that had all power in heaven and earth. We miss that sometimes. Don't we miss out on that? Don't we worry and fret and while our days away in anxiety because we don't realize that the one that loves us beyond measure is the one that has all power in heaven and earth. That's who she's talking to. Why, he could have said anything that could have happened. She didn't know. He's the great intercessor. She is talking to the great intercessor for you and I. She is talking to the one that gives us access to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in time of need. She is talking to the great high priest who could be touched on the positive side, to say it that way, who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That's who she's talking to. She's talking to the all-knowing one. He knew all about her. She was talking to the one who's never lost a battle. He's never lost a battle. Say, it looks like he did. It might look that way, but he's never lost a battle. She was looking at the altogether lovely one. Oh my, we could just sit down sometime, just start writing what you know about him. It just he's the one worthy to take the book and open it up. I've got all these others. I was just reading them. Let me just shorten it. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. He's the one that's going to come back sitting on that white horse. True and faithful. Well, hallelujah. He's the one, I'll be behind him. The armies of heaven, Brother Bud, I'll be behind him. I don't figure I'll have to fight much because there's a sharp sword that comes out of his mouth. Yeah, taking care of the nations. I reckon I'll just be there to see his glory. I guess that's what that'll be about. I don't know. But man, I'm telling you, that's who she was talking to. We have access to one. Folks, we don't even appreciate who the Lord really is sometimes. We get all bound down, tore up, in trouble, and bothered. Can I tell you? He's the one that's... Can I just say it this way? I could read the rest of them, but can I just say, he's mine, not me. Isn't that something? He's my property, Brother Steve. I belong to him, and he belongs to me. Here's what he said to her that day. He said, John, chapter number 4, he said, if there's two things you knew. Number one, the gift of God. And number two, if you knew who you're talking to, he said you'd do one thing. You would ask. He didn't say you'd clean your life up and do better. He didn't say you'd fall at my feet and worship me. But he said if you just knew the gift of God and you just knew who you're talking to, notice what it says. Just a little simple truth. Thou wouldest have asked of him. You'd ask him for this living water. And what would he have done? And here's that word give again that we see repeatedly. And he would have sold you. He would have bartered with you to give you. No, he would have given thee living water. Water. You say, what's the qualifications for getting from the Lord? Can I tell you this morning? It's asking. We have not because we ask not. You say, well, I just don't see it happening. Well, he don't work on our timetable. He works on his timetable. He said, you have not because you ask not. Ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it of your lust. Can I tell you, when you ask, and I always try to say this at the end of my prayer, especially when I'm by myself, Lord, I really don't know some of these things, what your will is. I'm just telling you what I think it needs to be, but what I want your will. If you'll pray that way and you'll mean it in your heart, just whatever, Lord. I've been going through a little situation in my life, and I don't need to go into details, but I've just been saying to the Lord, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what I want. Lord, if you're trying to teach me something, I just hadn't learned it, help me to learn it. And if I have learned it, Lord, just whatever you want, what I want. Can I tell you, church, That's where I'm at with this little church. I just want what God wants. That's what I want with my life, just whatever God wants. That's really it. I don't want anything. I just want to be smack dab in the center of the will of God for my life. That's what I want for this church. I gotta tell you, that's what I want for your life too. That's how I pray for most of y'all. Just help them, Lord, to find the center of your will for their life. Here she is. He said the three things. If you knew the gift and who he is talking to, he said, you would have asked and I would have given. That's what he said. You say she's an outcast. They won't even let her in the church. They shun her. They won't even go in the community where she lives. They walk around the other way. They may have, but Jesus did. He loved her. And I could talk about what he got past. He got past the sex barrier. The women were not considered on equal terms to the men back then. He got past that. Got past the Samaritan, the racial barrier. Oh, he got past that sinful barrier, just a no good, worthless. He went through all those things because he loved that precious woman. And I want to say to you today, God loves sinners. And if you're going to be Christ-like, you're going to have to love sinners. And really, you're going to have to love unconditionally. They're not going to love you back. They're probably not going to benefit you. They're probably not even going to want to hear what you have to say. But the Lord, if we're going to be like Him, we're going to have to love sinners. And sinner, if you're here this morning, my, there's so much. I've got four or five other points, but I'm just going to quit this morning. Here's what I want to say to you, sinner. There's a God in heaven that loves you. I thought about when He saved me, how many failures I've made. See, here's the difference in me and some of you all. Y'all got saved like 25, 30 years old, and you just live for the Lord. I got saved at a young age, went through teenage years and the early 20s, what I'm trying to say. And I really sat on a church pew, and I'm not talking about great moral sin. I've never been a drinker. I've been faithful to my wife, and I'm not talking about, but can I tell you, I've just backslid sitting right on the pew. Can I tell you some of my greatest sins I've done just sitting on the pew, thoughts that's run through my mind, and my, you say, that's nothing. If you knew some of the thoughts I had, it'd be something to you. I'd really hate for you to know the life I've lived since I've been saved. But can I tell you, Jesus saved me anyway. And then when I strayed and I needed forgiveness, you know what I had to do? Just John 1:9. I like what one preacher said. I'm a John 1:9 Christian. That's what he said. I was listening to him the other day, and he said, you're looking at a John 1:9 preacher. Well, what does John 1:9 say? It says this: if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, I know I'm maybe off just a little bit, but I feel like I'm plowing pretty close this morning up to somebody. When you fail, you confess. If you fail as a child of God, you don't quit. It's not the end. When a little baby's learning to walk, if he falls, is it over? Is it over with? Do you just quit? Do you just write him off and say, hey, he can't walk, he failed? No, what you do, you pick him up and you encourage him and you help him walk on. And he's going to fall maybe again. I'm not justifying sin. But here's what I'm trying to say to you. When you sin, go talk to Jesus again. Go talk to the Lord again. Tell Him. Confess. Hey, he said, if you'd have asked, I would have given. I would have given. We need to take that truth. And you know, I know we're talking about sinners here. I know we're talking about salvation. But can I tell you that applies to the saint? Ask him. Do you need something from the Lord today? Ask him. Ask him. Talk to him. Sinner, if you're here, God's dealt with your heart. I don't know. I look around here. You know what I'd say? Everybody's saved. Why'd God put it on my heart? You tell me. Brother Roy's just saying under his breath, God looketh on the heart. And that's right. He knows your heart. You say, I've got everybody fooled. You ain't got God fooled. He knows. He knows. And it don't matter if you can fool me. What's that matter? Everybody fools me. I finally just got where I said, well, time will tell. That's what I say, Brother Miller. Well, what do you think? Time will tell. That's all I know. But you ain't got God fooled. He's looking on your heart. You better get serious about serving God. Some of you mamas in this church, and you daddies, you better take it serious. You better quit being half-hearted, lukewarm. You better just sell out and give your life to God. You better just say, God, I'm not being what I ought to be, but I want to be. Forgive me and help me along the way. If you will, He'll forgive you and He'll help you. If you're lost, you need to be saved. That's all I know to say. If you're deceived, God's opened your eyes. Be saved today. Sister King, you come to the piano, Brother Allen, or whoever, I guess. Can you sing this morning? All right, come on, Brother Allen. I'll just ask you to bow your heads. God spoke to your heart. I just want you to be obedient. I ain't trying to talk you into nothing. My lands, what good would it be if I talked you into something? It wouldn't be worth nothing. So, but if the Spirit of God's dealt with your heart, would you be obedient? Thought about this old woman. She's an outcast. 5 husbands. Shacking up, but when God done a work in her life, He gave her credibility with sinners. And my, she testified to those men they believed on Jesus because of her word. He used her in a great way. Would you like to be used this morning? Do you desire that? Deep in your heart, you want God to use you. As He spoke to you this morning, it's going to start with an obedient heart. Would you come? Would you come while the he's are praying? Would you come this morning? He's spoken to you. Would you obey? Sing, Brother Allen.